नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 16 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड Krishna teases Rukmini, text number 41. Yadvanchaya nrpashika manayonga venya jayantana ushagaya daya ekya patyam राज्यं विसृज्य विविशुर वनमम्बुजाक्ष सीदन्ति तेनु पदवीं त इयास्तिता किम्। यद्वाञ्चया नृपशिका मनयोऽङ्गवेन्या जायन्त नाउषगया दय ऐक्यपत्यम् राज्यं विसृज्य विविशुर्वनमम्बुजाक्ष सीदन्ति तेनु पदवीं त इयास्तिता किम्। यद्वाञ्चया नृपशिका मनयोऽङ्गवेन्या जायन्त नाउषगया दय ऐक्यपत्यम् राज्यं विसृज्य विविशुर्वनमम्बुजाक्ष सीदन्ति तेनु पदवीं त इयास्तिता किम्। Mataji's. For whom? Vanchaya, out of desire. Nripa, of kings. Shikamanayaha, the crown jewels. Angavenya jayantana ushagaya adaya. Anga, the father of Vena. Venya, Prithu, the son of Vena. Jayanta, Bharata, Nausha, Yayati, Gaya and others. Aikya, exclusive. Patyam, having sovereignty. Rajyam, their kingdoms. Visrijya, abandoning. Vivishuhu, entered. Vanam, the forest. Ambujaksha, O lotus-eyed one. Sidanti, suffer frustration. Te, your. Anupadavim, on the path. Te, they. Here, in this world. Aftitaha, fixed. Kim, whether. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Sri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Wanting your association, the best of kings, Anga, Vainya, Jayanta, Nausha, Gaya and others, abandoned their absolute sovereignty and entered the forest to seek you out. How could those kings suffer frustration in this world? O lotus-eyed one. Purport. Here, Queen Rukmini refutes the ideas put forth by Lord Krishna in text 13. In fact, Srimati Rukmini Devi repeats Lord Krishna's own words. The Lord said, Aftita Padavin Subru Praya Sidanti Yoshitaha. Women who follow my path generally suffer. Here Rukmini Devi says, Sidanti Te Nupadavim Ta Yaftita Kim. Why should those fixed on your path suffer in this world? She gives the example of many great kings who renounced their powerful sovereignty to enter the forest, where they performed austerities and worshipped the Lord intensely, desiring His transcendental association. Thus, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srimati Rukmini Devi here intends to tell Sri Krishna, you have said that I, a king's daughter, am unintelligent and frustrated because I married you. But how can you accuse all those great enlightened kings of being unintelligent? They were the wisest of men, yet they gave up everything to follow you and were certainly not frustrated by the result. Indeed, they achieved the perfection of your association. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamayam Dadati svapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri rupam Grajatam Dana ragunatan vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate గోపేశా గోపికా కాంత శ్రీ రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ శ్రీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియ వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. ఇట్స్ ఎ వెరీ నైస్ చాప్టర్ వేర్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ టీజింగ్ రుక్మిణి అండ్ ఈజ్ టెలింగ్ హర్ దట్ షీ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ మ్యారీడ్ సమ్మన్ ఎల్స్. సో దే ఆర్ హ్యావింగ్ నైస్ రస. విషిల ప్రభుపాద్ సేస్ ఈజ్ వెరీ మచ్ నీడెడ్ ఇన్ గృహస్థ ఆశ్రమ్. సో హౌ అ టిపికల్ హస్బెండ్ అండ్ వైఫ్ వుడ్ హ్యావ్ ఫన్ ఆర్ జోక్, దాట్స్ వాట్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ డూయింగ్. And he is telling her that she has made a mistake marrying him. She should have married Shishupal. And he says, you know, I actually married you because I wanted to take revenge against them. And I am actually indifferent. Now by this, basically he was hinting at divorce. And Rukmini Devi, she became, she was so overwhelmed at the prospect of losing Krishna. And also, she had this confidence that Krishna is always with her. So she suddenly felt that confidence being shaken. So she broke down. In the sense, she became unconscious. She became nervous and she started crying. And then immediately Krishna realized that she didn't realize that I was joking. So then Krishna brought her back to consciousness. He wiped her tears. He manifested his four hands and caressed her and brought her back to consciousness. And then he told her that I was joking and you are the most chaste woman, and he glorified her. And now Rukmini Devi, realizing that Krishna was just joking, she starts refuting each of the points that Krishna had said with logic, explaining how Krishna indeed is the most wonderful person and the supreme personality of Godhead, and he deserves, and how all the points that Krishna said about his being disqualified, she proves how it's opposite, how he is actually most qualified person. So one of the things Krishna had told her was that whoever takes shelter of me, they get frustrated in this world. This is one of the things that he had told her while joking. Saying that, hinting that you also would get frustrated if you are with me. But now Rukmini Devi, refuting that point in this verse, she is saying that how can you say that those who take shelter of you get frustrated? Because Jayanta, Nahusha, Gaya, Anga, Vainya, she starts quoting all these kings who left everything to serve Krishna, and they didn't get frustrated. On the contrary, they were blissful. So this is the theme, you know, in this verse and purport, that giving up everything for Krishna won't result in frustration. That's what Rukmini Devi is trying to tell Krishna, that if you give up, like when we come new, we are encouraged to give up our bad habits. We are encouraged to follow the four regulative principles: no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, chant Hare Krishna. So basically the idea is, you give up something for Krishna, you won't be frustrated, you will be happy. Of course, certainly it's not going to be easy. We will be tested, but it is worth it. And when one takes complete shelter of Krishna, giving up things of the material world, what happens?
Akinchani kritya padashritam ya karoti bhikshum patigeha hinam kenapaho bishana chora idr drishta shrutova namaya kadapi.
Bila Mangal Thakur says, akinchani kritya Krishna padashritam ya, one who takes shelter of lotus feet of Krishna becomes bereft of everything else.
Karoti bhikshum patige ahinam.
A person becomes like a beggar. He has nothing because he has taken shelter of Krishna. And then he is saying, kena pahobi shanachora idrug. Oh, I have not seen such a dangerous, such a powerful thief like this person who takes away everything. Drishta shrutovana maya kadapi. Nowhere. And I have not heard of such a thief. And I have not seen such a thief who takes away everything. Like this Bila Mangal Thakur says. And then he says, oh thief, you have taken away everything of mine, but where will you go?
Dhanam cha manam cha tatendriyani pranam sharutva mama sarvameva palayase kutra drito dya chora tvam bhakti damna simaya niruddha.
Then he is saying that, oh, you have taken away manam, dhanam, you have taken away all my wealth. You have taken away my reputation, all the strength and the capability of my senses to enjoy sense gratification, indriyani.
Pranam sharitva mama sarvam eva. Whatever I had, you have taken away everything. Now I have nothing. But palayase kutra drito dya chora.
Oh chor, where will you run away? You have taken away everything, but I will stop. I will stop you.
Tvam bhakti damna simaya niruddha.
Niruddha means stop. So with the bhakti damna, with the rope of my bhakti, I will stop you. Now I have nothing, so I want to hold on to you. So somebody may say, if Krishna can destroy everything, Krishna can take away everything, what can one tiny rope catch him? Rope of bhakti, can it catch him? So in the next verse, he says,
Chinatsi ghoram yamapasha bandham, binatsi bhimam bhavapasha bandham, chinatsi sarvasva samasta bandham, naivatmana bhakta kritam tu bandham.
Then a very beautiful verse is saying, Krishna, this chore, he's not mentioned the name of this chore till the end. Last verse he mentions the name. He's saying, chinatsi ghoram, this thief is so powerful.
Chinatsi ghoram yamapasha bandham.
He can destroy the yamapash, the rope that Yamaraj ties us with. That rope can easily be cut by this chore. So powerful he is.
Binatsi bhimam bhavapasha bandham.
And the ropes of material existence, birth and death, those ropes also can be cut by this thief.
Chinatsi sarvasva samasta bandham.
And all the ropes of so many lifetimes and so many anxieties, entanglements that is binding us, that rope also this thief can easily cut away. But
naivatmana bhakta kritam tu bandham.
But if a devotee ties this thief with the rope of bhakti, that rope he cannot break. So like this, very beautifully he is saying that giving up for Krishna, there is no loss. You know? And if you give up for Krishna, and then Krishna takes care, and you will always be happy. Srila Prabhupada echoes this mood very beautifully in the first canto, where Kunti Devi is offering prayers. One of the prayers she offers is,
Namo kinchana vittaya nivrita guna vrittaye atmaramaya shantaya kaivalya pataye nama.
That my dear Lord, you are the property of those who are impoverished and you are beyond material modes. You are atmaram, you are fully satisfied and you are peaceful and you are master of the monoists, master of the impersonalists, kaivalya pataye nama. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes the same theme which is there in today's purport, that first of all, Prabhupada says a living entity can never be a renouncer. We can actually never give up anything. And even if we apparently give up something, we are actually giving up something so that we can get something better. Nobody in this world gives up just for the sake of giving up. So he gives many examples. A student gives up playing. Why? So that he can study well and get a good job. So he's renouncing some pleasure for something else. Or a servant gives up a job
so that he gets a better job. Then a devotee also gives up certain things of the material world so that he can get something tangible, something very relishable. Like Rup Sanatan, they were finance minister and prime ministers under Nawab Hussain Shah. They had so much wealth. They were practically like Indra. Why they wanted to give up? Just like that? They wanted to serve Lord Chaitanya fully. They wanted to absorb themselves completely. Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a multi-billionaire. He had 11 servants guarding him and he wanted to always run away. At one point of time, his mother said, why not? You know, so many times he would escape and the guards would catch him and bring him back. So at one point of time, his mother proposed to his father that, why not tie him up with iron chains and keep him bound at home? So his father said, as a matter of fact, that when he has so much wealth, he has so much opulence, and if the ropes of these opulences cannot bind him, what will these iron chains, how long can it hold him? And what of Raghunath Das Goswami's desire? He wanted to renounce everything and run for what? He wanted to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to render complete devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada says a very beautiful statement in that purport, Namo Kinchana Vittaya verse, that devotees don't give up material prosperity just like that. He says they give up because they have a secret treasure house at the lotus feet of the Lord. This is a very nice statement, you know. I liked it very much when I read it. Devotees give up. Apparently there is material prosperity, and if somebody is giving up, they are giving it up because they have a secret treasure house at the lotus feet of the Lord. So it is for Krishna. Prema dana vina virta daridra jivan das kori vetan more deha prema dhan. So the highest wealth is love for Krishna, and without that, prema dana vina virta daridra jivan, our life is virta, it's daridra. Dasa kori, I am your servant Krishna. Vetan more, give me vetan. Give me. I am not a servant who will serve free of cost. I want some salary. Das kori vetan more deha prema dhan. What is that wealth I want? What is that salary I want? I want love. I want to love you. Actually, this is not wrong to aspire. You know, sometimes we think, how can I aspire for taste in bhakti? This is a very high philosophy. Or how can I aspire to love Krishna? No, we should just keep doing seva. No, it is not wrong. Actually, this is desired. If we don't aspire to love Krishna, then we will be miserable. How long will we do devotional service? How long will we carry on, you know? Unless we have taste, when we are saying taste, we don't want taste because we are, you know, selfish. I don't want taste because, you know, I want to be happy. I want to be peaceful. That's not our goal. We want taste so that we can serve Krishna nicely. Our desire is to please Krishna, you know. So basically taste is synonymous with attraction. When we say I want taste, what a devotee actually wants is he wants attraction for Krishna. So if we don't have attraction for Krishna, how long will we serve Krishna? So that is desired by devotees. So if somebody is giving up something, this is what they want. They want attraction for Krishna. They want attraction for chanting. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice story of Sanatan Goswami. One person, he prayed to Lord Shiva. He said, I want lot of wealth. So Lord Shiva told him, you see that Sanatan Goswami, the Babaji there, he is doing bhajan. He has a chintamani, touchstone. Touchstone is something which you know, if you rub anything with it, that thing becomes gold. You can become a very rich person. So he said, you go to Sanatan Goswami, he will give you the touchstone, and then you will become multi-millionaire, you will become very rich. So very excitedly he went to Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami said, oh, you want the touchstone? Oh, that is lying there in the garbage can, pick it up. So he became excited, he ran, he picked up that. And then he thought, but such a great Babaji, he threw it away in the garbage can. This is so powerful. That means he has something better. So he came back to Sanatan Goswami and asked him, that you have abandoned this, that means you have something better, I want that. Sanatan Goswami said, you want that? Then you throw this in Yamuna. Actually, some acharyas say he told him to throw it at Kusum Sarovar, because Kusum Sarovar has no, you can't find out how deep it is. So that was the test of his faith. If you throw it in Kusum Sarovar, Sanatan Goswami said, you throw it away, then I'll give you what I have. So he took that leap of faith. That leap of faith is needed in bhakti. So he threw that
టచ్ స్టోన్ అండ్ దెన్ సనాతన్ గోస్వామి గేవ్ హిమ్ ద హోలీ నేమ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ్ రామ్ రామ్. సో దాట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్. యూనో గివ్ అప్ సంథింగ్ అండ్ గెట్ సంథింగ్ ఎల్స్. నథింగ్ బేసికలీ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ విల్ నాట్ కమ్, కృష్ణ ప్రేమ్ విల్ నాట్ కమ్ ఫ్రీ. నథింగ్ ఇస్ ఫ్రీ ఇన్ దర్ ఆర్ నో ఫ్రీ లంచెస్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్. కుచ్ తో దేనా పడేగా, ప్రైజ్ యూ హర్ టు పే. సో ఇఫ్ యూ సే నో, ఇఫ్ యూ సే నో ఫార్ సంథింగ్ లైక్ యూ వీఆర్ సేయింగ్ సే నో టు సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్, నో. If you keep saying no, 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 we'll get frustrated. Even in general life, you know, the principle is, if you say no for something, there has to be a deep yes burning for something else. Otherwise, if I say, seva hai Prabhuji, no, no, seva, nahi, nahi, nahi. If I keep saying no, without a deep yes, then I'll be miserable. There has to be, the principle is, there has to be a deep yes burning inside for something. And vice versa also, if you want something deeply, then we should be willing to pay a price. So that's very important. Actually, Srila Prabhupada also said many times that actually we can't give up. Giving up in this world is what? We can't actually renounce anything. We have to renounce the mentality that I have something. Because what do we have really? What did we get when we came to this world? So we can't actually renounce anything. We have to give up the mentality that I have something. Just like, you know, if you go to your neighbor's house and tell him that I renounce your refrigerator, I renounce your television, he'll say, aapka tha hi nahi, you know, he'll call you a madman. So, tyaga is actually, what can we give up? On the other hand, bhoga, enjoying, is like a thief. You know, I want, what belongs to Krishna we want to enjoy. And what doesn't belong to us we want to renounce. So, enjoying is thief. Giving up is a lunatic, you know, because you are a madman. How can you give up what you don't have? So basically that idea that everything is mine, I am enjoyer, this is the most difficult to give up. I am enjoyer, everything is for my pleasure. The Ravana mentality that we have within our hearts, you know. So that we have to give up. Even in another purport, in that verse, Apyadhyanastvam sakrite hita prabhu, Kunti Devi's prayer. There also Srila Prabhupada writes that everyone has this Ravana mentality, he says, of being an independent enjoyer, and this causes a lot of suffering in this world. So that's why we have to give up this mentality. I remember once Jayadeva Swami Maharaj was asked at a traffic signal, one policeman came and asked him, hey, what somebody has to do to become Hare Krishna? So Jayadeva Maharaj said, you have to simply give up suffering if you want to become Hare Krishna. Means this is suffering, trying to enjoy, trying to get everything for ourselves. And now, but the very important question that we have to address now is that let us say somebody actually gives up everything for Krishna. Let's say somebody gives up a lot of material things for Krishna, career, and a lot of prospects for enjoyment. Will he be happy? That is a $1 billion question. When we give up things for Krishna, will a person be happy? Is happiness our goal? Actually, it could be possible that a person gets frustrated in life despite giving up so many things. That means what we gave up was not actually for Krishna. I may claim I may have given up some things, but if I am still not fulfilled, in the sense if I am not deeply connected to Krishna, it could be that I gave up for my own subtle desires of wanting some pride, name, fame, or I was frustrated with certain material activities, so to escape that suffering, I gave it up. It's possible. So it's not the external act, oh, I gave up, now I should be happy. You can't cry like that. No, we may not have given up with the actual right intention. That's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls this as utsaha mai. He says that anishtita bhakti, the unsteady devotional service, at that stage, he gives different symptoms. What are the symptoms of unsteady devotional service? One of the six symptoms is this. Utsaha mai, false enthusiasm. Utsaha mai means, I'm very enthusiastic to render devotional service because of two things. Because of a wrong conception about myself. I'm enthusiastic because of a wrong conception about myself. And secondly, I'm enthusiastic because of what respect or what admiration I get from others.
So that means, you know, if I identify myself, like if I say, let's say I learn to play kartal, and for many months I keep practicing and I start thinking, now I develop the conception that I'm a very good kartal player. And I think others will also be impressed by the way I play kartal. But then when the kirtan is going on, I start playing. And some expert kirtaniya is there, he tells me, don't play. So when he tells me, don't play kartal, then my enthusiasm for devotional service is gone. Then I say, arre, then I'll not go in kirtan only. Main japa karunga. Kirtan mein, ye sab bahut awaaz karte hai, bahut kirtal bajate. They play a lot of mridangas, you know, it's too noisy. So all that enthusiasm is dissolved because, why? Because it was utsahamai, it was the conception of myself as a great kartal player and others should appreciate me. So many times we don't realize that I may give up many things for apparently for Krishna, but it's utsahamai. I may think I'm a great preacher, I can give nice lectures, and then in the programs I do only one person comes, that too once in 2 weeks, and you know, rarely, and then I'm so frustrated. So then I say, no, bhajan karna chahiye. Bhajan is actually goal of life. So basically our enthusiasm, when I'm in charge, I may do a lot of service. When I'm not in charge, I may not be inspired to do devotional service. So basically, am I giving up for actually giving up anything, first of all? And is Krishna really there in that? So externally we may give up certain things, but internally am I connecting to Krishna? And if internally we are not connected and external show we are doing, it's a matter of time before Krishna exposes us to ourselves at least. Krishna will always show the mirror. And sometimes it's very painful to see ourselves in the mirror. Whatever we have professed, whatever we have claimed, whatever we have declared to the world, and we'll have to confront that. Inside, outside, how if it is not congruent. If you're not congruent, then it can land us in a lot of trouble. Like, you know, once when I was doing youth preaching at base, and there was sweet rice being served, and one devotee was he was feeling a little shy, what will people think, and externally it was appearing as if he was very sense controlled. Sweet rice, no, I don't want sweet rice, and bas prasadam come. So external was sense controlled, no sweet rice. In the night when everybody was sleeping, he went to the refrigerator, picked up that whole pot of sweet rice. And then suddenly somebody saw him and he was exposed. So inside I want sweet rice, externally, I'm okay. I'm very renounced. See, the inside outside is not same, the inside eventually takes revenge. And at some point of time, inside will not keep quiet. So many times, so I may pretend to be a very advanced person and it can be very painful. Because the inside will come out. So what does that mean? Does that mean we become shameless? That I'm inside very like this, so I'll be externally also like that. No, not like that. We have to change the role. What we are external, we have to try to be internal like that. Like externally, I may keep telling, Prabhu, I'm your servant, Hari Bol, Dasosmi. But it's a very big thing to be a servant of another person, So at least we can work on internalizing what we claim to be externally, claiming ourselves to be. So therefore, if externally I have given up, Krishna will definitely force us, he will corner us to ask this question. So you have given up for what? Prabhu, my dear Prabhu. Just like in the movies they show, the person is fighting and then his neck is caught and is put on the corner and he can't escape and is about to be hit. So like that, Krishna will catch your neck, take you to the corner, put you against the wall. Come on, so you gave up everything for me? You want me? Really you want me? So it's not easy to just, declare that I'm renouncing. Because Krishna will test us. Like I remember one grihastha friend of mine, around 20 years ago, he had a lot of career opportunities. He sacrificed that. He said, I want to do more devotional service. So then life went on. Today he has two children and he's in a career. And today at the age of 45, he's frantically trying to make up for his lost career. And he was telling me, Prabhu, I did it, but now, people who joined 10 years later, they have gone ahead in career. And I feel, and I'm not able to take certain situations, domestic problems. I wish I could have not, I did not sacrifice my career. And then we had a lot of churning, heart churning, we discussed. Finally, in the end, we were laughing, we were happy. So I was asking him his realization. He said, Prabhu, Krishna consciousness, Krishna will test us. All the big, big things we claim, Krishna will test us whether we really want Krishna. Same thing can happen to a brahmachari also. Somebody may give up job, need for a female companion, I won't get married, I'll become sadhu. So you think Krishna will just accept on the face value that, I gave up everything. Krishna through his material energy will present obstacles and he will test us. So why we are giving up? We are giving up because I want Krishna or I want to be a hero? Like Gauranga Prabhu gave a nice example once. He said, in Krishna consciousness, very nice. It's such a simple example, not a big thing, but it made so much sense to me. He said, we come to Krishna consciousness not realizing what we are actually getting here. We come with various other conceptions. And then when the reality hits us after some years, that in Krishna consciousness actually what you get is Krishna. Then we realize, did I really want Krishna? So he gave an example. Then we realize, I wanted many other things other than Krishna. And now here I am being given Krishna. So he gave the example that, sometimes you may be really thirsty and hungry. And you're walking in the road and suddenly you see a hospital. And you see a juice center below that hospital. So you enter that hospital not because you want a medical checkup or you want some treatment to be done. You enter that hospital because you are hungry. And there you go to that juice center. You drink the juice. You eat some snacks. Relaxed. Peaceful. Achha, maja aa gaya. Then once the hunger is satisfied, then you are wondering what I am doing in the hospital. Then we leave the hospital. But if you had actually been conscious, I may be sick, let me do some medical test, let me get admitted, let me get treatment. If you already knew what the hospital is offering and then you enter with that, then it makes sense. So similarly he said, Krishna consciousness is like a hospital. ISKCON, Krishna consciousness can offer us so many things. But we have entered not because we want Krishna. We have entered like a person who is hungry. We have entered a hospital. We have entered Krishna consciousness like a person entering hospital for something else other than medical checkup. And once that need is fulfilled, he will not remain in the hospital. So he said, if I don't really want Krishna, then what am I doing here? Because our USP, ISKCON's USP is what? Krishna. Serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna. So like that. And basically, Krishna, what is that verse in the first canto? Yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartam tatkritam chabi padyate. For the living entities, bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranite bale apashyat purusham purna mayam chadat apashrayam. So living entity is under maya, maya is under Krishna. So Krishna, through the material energy, will test us constantly. Our claims of renunciation, giving up something for Krishna. Till the last moment, because Srila Prabhupada in one lecture in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada, beautiful, it's there in the teachings of Queen Kunti book. He says, Maya will always test us because she wants to know whether we want to serve Krishna or whether we want to disturb Krishna. Of course, Krishna can never be disturbed by us, but Prabhupada says that Maya wants to know whether you want to disturb Krishna or whether you want to serve Krishna. So, proposals will come, material energy will present, allurements, distractions, temptations, obstacles. Just imagine Haridas Thakur. What? How many rounds he was chanting every day? 192 rounds, and those are attentive rounds. We are struggling with 16 rounds. Here is somebody is chanting 192 rounds every day. And how was he tested? He was tested by one prostitute. We know that story. And then Maya Devi herself came. Now, what is Maya? When we say Maya Devi herself came, what does that mean? That means all the beauty, all the distraction and all the temptations of this world condensed into one form. Imagine, what will that be? So that personification is coming in front of Haridas. What a test. So if Haridas Thakur is tested, despite chanting 192 rounds, how can we be thinking that, Are, I have given up, I am nice, I am brahmachari, Ari bol, I have left, I am happy, I am sadhu, I am chanting. No, Maya will test us. She is not going to leave us. And at each level, it's like this. At each level we are tested. And then if we surrender to Krishna, actually call out for Krishna, pass that test, then as we are getting comfortable at that level, then again a test will come, when again we have to take a big jump up by surrendering to Krishna. Then at that level we remain for some time. Then again, so it's a lifelong upwards journey. And at each stage there is a struggle and exercising our free will, surrendering to Krishna. That's how we get higher, we get richer realizations in bhakti. Realizations don't come free of cost. Realizations don't come by thinking of some nice analogies. You know, realizations comes by actually facing challenges where we have to call out to Krishna. Krishna, I am yours. I want to surrender. Like I remember when I was a young boy, you know, childhood impressions are very strong, very deep. So when we were young boys, we used to play in our colony. We had tennis courts, and the tennis courts we used to play football, cricket, everything other than tennis, because rainy season you can't play tennis. I remember I was 10 or 11 years old. So that one day there used to be a karate class also going on in the other next court. There was a very famous karate teacher, Vispi Kapadia. That time he was very famous. And he had a lot of black belt students, and they would always practice. And we would look at it with awe, because we were young boys, and we were seeing. And one day we saw something, it really shook me. Everyone was seated on the stands, in the tennis court we had stand, and everyone was watching a spectacle. And what was that? One person was in white belt, white karate clothes, and three people were hitting him. You know, they were jumping in the air, they were kicking him, and he was falling. And then again he was getting up. He was trying to fight. But three people were hitting him left, right, center from all sides. Such badly was beaten. And we all, you know, young boys, as if it was a movie going on, we were all watching it. We stopped our playing. Oh my God, I was kicked so badly. I still remember that scene. And then after that, he was so badly bruised. You know, his hair was disheveled, clothes were disheveled. And then he sat on the bench. He had two bottles of water he was drinking, and everyone else slowly left. So eventually, he was alone. Panting, and we 5-6 boys, you know, we boys like to do masti, and you know, we just came, sat next to him. Uncle, kyo mara aapko itna? We were asking. We were wondering why he was beaten so much, and he was like, he couldn't even talk to us. He was drinking water, and he relaxed, and then we were looking around him, and we were making fun of him, because we knew that he can't fight now. You know, he's exhausted. So after half an hour or 40 minutes, he slowly got up, packed his bags, and he went. And next day again we came to play, and what we saw was something amazing. Again, all those people were sitting, and he was there, but he was smiling. And there was a big ceremony, and that Vispi Kapadia himself, he was there. That he's a big man, well built. And there was a ceremony, and this man came in the front, and he was given a black belt that day. That was an award-giving ceremony for him. And he took that belt, and everyone was clapping, and he was smiling, and you know, there was some typical karate, they had some honors. And everyone was coming, hugging him, appreciating him, congratulating him. And then we came, "Are, kal isko itna mara." Yesterday he was beaten so badly, and today he is having a black belt. And then of course we met him, and then we saw the whole. But I remember, whenever I would see after that, as I was growing up in my life, in my teenage years, whenever I would see people with black belt, when I would hear that he's a black belt, I would think, "Bahut maar khaya rahe." He must have got really beaten badly. So why am I saying this is because, you know, in Krishna consciousness also, when we see devotees have a lot of realizations, we hear, so sometimes, you know, one person came to give class, one sannyasi is. He has been in the movement 40, 45 years. So Radhana Swami Maharaj was in the hospital, he was hearing the class. So somebody turned off the volume. "Maharaj, this sannyasi is giving class." Maharaj said, "No, play the class, I want to hear." So then Maharaj said, "He may not be a great charismatic speaker like some of you, but he has spent 40 years, what realizations he has, and he has gone through so much challenges in life. When he speaks, there is so much Krishna there." So we realize that, and that's why we see sometimes, you know, when guests come, sannyasis come, 40 saal nikala bhakti, maybe here, everybody comes, because we know this person has faced a lot of challenges. You don't get free, you know. So if somebody has got black belt in Krishna consciousness, that means he has gone through a lot of purification also. So nothing comes free, that's the point. And if we are having this attitude, then we are in big illusion that You know, sometimes it's actually denial. Sometimes we say, you know, just chant Hare Krishna, do seva, be happy. Yes, everything is nice. But you can't escape purification. You can't say, I'll go back to Godhead without any struggle. Why are we afraid of struggle? Like Yadat Maharaj was once told, Maharaj, you know, we should make a book. How I came to Krishna consciousness. We'll have all stories of devotees who came to bhakti. Maharaj said, I think rather than write a book on how I came to Krishna consciousness, we should write a book on how I stayed in Krishna consciousness. You know, it's not easy. And at the same time, it's blissful if we have the association of devotees. Because Krishna wants us to come on our knees and beg. And he wants to see that drop of tear in the eye. And without that, you can't get Krishna. I remember once one devotee gave Bhagavatam class here. And he was speaking about humor in bhakti. And humor and fun in Krishna consciousness. And it was such a nice class. Everyone was laughing and everyone was happy. And after the class, Govind Prabhu was, I remember, Govind Prabhu, myself, few devotees were behind, and Radhana Swami Maharaj met us. And he had heard the whole class in his room on the tape. And then we were surrounding him, and Maharaj said, very nice class he gave. From one angle, one aspect, what he spoke was very true. Then Maharaj said, but you know what? Krishna consciousness is not laughter, humor, fun. It's serious business. And then he said, you have to shed a lot of tears if you want to go back home, back to Godhead. So yeah, he is right. Maharaj balanced it. Maharaj said, he was presenting one angle that, you know, if you are in association, you are always happy. That's true. But we can't circumvent the law. We can't bypass this principle that, you know, we have to take shelter of Krishna. And if you are looking for shortcuts, as they say in English, shortcut is the quickest way to go to a place where you were not planning to go. Means shortcut will take you. There are no shortcuts in bhakti. You know? So so basically Maya will test us till the very end, and it is Krishna's own arrangement. Like I remember when Stok Krishna Prabhu was leaving his body, February 2006. So just a few days before that, Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving class here, and he said, even as you're leaving your body, in 1 year, Krishna will whisper, come back to spiritual world. And on the other year, Maya will tell you, stay back in this material world. I'm there for you. So there's going to be a test. And if Bharat Maharaj was not spared, Bharat Maharaj also renounced everything, you know. In the fifth canto we read, he renounced everything. And he had almost attained the bhava stage. But, so there will be tests. And there's nothing to be worried about. You don't have to be panicky. But what it means is, what we can learn from lessons from history is that we have to be focused, we have to be determined, and we have to have the good association of devotees. Like in Bharat Maharaj's case, we can learn from Bharat Maharaj. There is nothing wrong he did. He saved a deer from drowning. But what happened after that is what typically happens when we are not connected to Krishna. First slip of Bharat Maharaj was not that he saved a deer. That was very good. You know, that was compassion. But what happened was I put it as 4 R's. The first R, he reduced his sadhana in the name of service to the deer. So he would, the time that he was spending on his spiritual practices, he spent that time taking care of the deer. So when we reduce sadhana, that is the first way Maya attacks. So if some of our projects and services become so important that I cannot do my basic hearing and chanting, then that renunciation is not sustainable. Now, Bharat Maharaj reduced his sadhana. We also reduce sometimes because of work pressure and deadlines and because of temporarily being distracted. That's okay. But what happened second was more dangerous, because he started justifying what he was doing. That means reasoning. After reducing our standards, when we start reasoning, Bharat Maharaj started saying, there are verses where Bharat Maharaj is saying, people may think that I have reduced my sadhana for taking care of the deer, but they are envious. How can I be not taking care of this deer? It's okay. So he was justifying that reducing the standard. So first is reduce the standard, then is reasoning. Then third, when we reduce our standard and when we start justifying, then whatever basic minimum sadhana we are doing, that becomes a ritual. There is no heart in it. Like Bharat Maharaj would pluck leaves and flowers for the puja, and you would be doing worship, but in the mind you would be thinking, oh, what is the deer doing? And you would pretend as if he is doing bhajan, and when the deer would come and pet him on the back or something, and you would pretend as if he is getting disturbed, but he was actually, his heart was there. Basically, all the things he was doing in bhajan was external. It was ritual. And eventually what happened? He became restless. That was the fourth thing. He became restless in his practices, and without the deer he couldn't live. So sometimes if we reduce our standards, if we start reasoning and then we do ritualistic bhakti, then eventually we become restless in the association of devotees. We wish we could be doing something else. And that's very, very frustrating. Therefore, to summarize, the essence is to renunciation is not external. And of course, the principle is if somebody gives up for Krishna, he is never the loser. But that Krishna factor has to be there. Like Burijan Prabhu gives this example many times. That people say, Prabhupada said, double it for, you know, marathon. And whenever you do your scores, you would say, double it. Then Burijan Prabhu says, Prabhupada said, double it for Krishna. That for Krishna we keep it aside. And if you only focus on double it, then we will not be able to continue. So that is the point, that let us focus. Many of us may be in the illusion that we have given up certain things, but actually that's an illusion, because we have not given up our false ego of the conception that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. So let us work on this principle, that I want to serve Krishna, and to be able to sustain our practices in Krishna consciousness, we need taste. We need attraction for Krishna. And this attraction comes from a steady practice of hearing and chanting. In the 11th canto, that famous Jato Shraddha Mat Khatasu verse, Krishna is telling Uddhav that sometimes my devotee may slip, devotees may struggle, but he never gives up hearing and chanting because he has complete faith. He condemns himself, he condemns sense gratification, but because of weak heartedness, he may be temporarily distracted, but he never gives up the process of hearing and chanting. And he keeps his determination and faith fixed in me, in hearing my glories. So like this, with the determination to please Krishna and to serve Krishna, we engage in Krishna consciousness and we aspire to get taste. And this aspiration is healthy. Like one devotee once told Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, we sing this bhajan, Jagannath Swami Nayanupat Gami Bhavatumi. Isn't this wrong prayer? Because we are telling Jagannath to be present before me. Isn't this it's self-serving? It appears, Krishna, come before me, I want to see you. Appear, be visible to me. Isn't this a self-serving and selfish prayer? This is what one devotee told Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. And then he said, unless Krishna reveals himself to us, how can we go on serving? So it's not wrong to aspire. Because faith will increase actually by our experience. So let us aspire to get an experience in Krishna consciousness, taste in Krishna consciousness, by sincerely hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.